Are you being real with what you're participating in? Meaning the conversations you're holding, the job that you're holding, the relationships that you're in. Are you being real with what is being created within that space? And through that, I mean, are you aware of your participation levels and what you're feeding? And if you're aware of that, are you happy and at peace with that? And if not, are you willing to make a shift?
There are over 7 billion people, but only one of you. Are you being real with yourself and those you care about? That's what the One and Only podcast is all about. Being true to who you are, even when it's not easy. I'm Mark Shapiro, and each week we dive below the surface to bring you honest storytelling, valuable tips, and inspiration to enrich your relationships, careers, and overall lives. It's time to get real.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 123 of the One and Only podcast. I'm Mark Shapiro, and today we are going to get to know the one and only Doug Aiken, who is an alchemist, he is an evolutionary guide, he is a cosmic dancer, he is the man. Doug is awesome, met him about a year ago, easily one of the most fascinating people that I know. He is incredibly dialed in, passionate, and he has a great story. He accomplished nearly all of his lifelong professional goals at a young age, which sparked a worldwide trip that he was planning on being on for a year. And 7 years later, Doug is still living it up on the road. He's got so much wisdom, so I wanted to talk with him about a number of different subjects, including the state of the world. We talk about how to vibrate at a high frequency. We talk about having freedom, having fun, traveling around the world for a living, as well as about mental concepts, the stories that we subscribe to, and how to create that perspective that allow us to become free of some of those mental prisons that we lock ourselves in. It's an awesome show. As Doug asked us in his Are You Being Real question at the top of the episode, are you being real about what you are participating in? We're constantly making decisions all day, every day, choosing which products to purchase and brands to invest in with our purchases. And I love that Doug is asking us if we're being real about everything that we're participating in. I invite you to ask yourself that question, as well as to see what comes alive for you as you listen to this episode today. And as you are enjoying this episode, if you feel inclined, share it out with your friends, your family, so they too can enjoy this awesome discussion with the one and only Doug Aiken. And the link is areyoubeingreal.com/123. Before we get into the episode, I want to give a shout out to our sponsors at Organifi, Organifi.com. Organifi makes absolutely incredible health products. I love their green juice. This company leads from the heart. They walk their talk, and you can frankly taste it in their products and in their supplements. They're all plant-based. I love them. Definitely check them out. They're running a bunch of discounts on Organifi.com. And by being a listener to the one and only, you'll also get a 20% discount at checkout. So do yourself and your health a favor and do so. The discount code is Winning Weeks. So that's Winning Weeks, no spaces in between that, Winning Weeks, and get 20% off at checkout. You won't regret it and you'll be thanking me later. So support our sponsors, support your health. It's time for the episode. Sit back, relax, and enjoy. Episode 123 with the one and only Doug Aiken. Your bio on Instagram, you say that you are a cosmic dancer. So my question is, what does it mean to be a cosmic dancer, and what is your best cosmic dance move?
Great question. So I've studied a lot of mysticism and different ritual around the world for the last several years, and There's something around dancing as a divine act. If you look at a lot of deities, they're dancers. And in Indian mythology and really around the world, even shamans were considered to be great dancers. And so I look at, you know, kind of the ability to get lost in a dance when you're dancing and you just allow yourself to escape or to simply go within yourself and to find what feels in sync, in rhythm with you and the music and the elements, you transcend and reach other realms that are outside of ones that you would commonly live in, and which is the living plane. So the cosmic realms, you know, and there's different ways of looking at that in three realms, but particularly just the infinite space, accessing that through dance.
What are the other two realms before we get into your favorite cosmic dance?
Well, so there's three primary realms. There's the cosmological realm, there's the earth realm, and then there's the underworld realm.
Mm. What's the underworld realm?
It's like the serpentine realm. It's where the root systems happen. It's underground. And so if you look at a lot of cultures, they have different spirits and spirituality and animals. Typically, so like a serpent would represent the underworld, where a puma or an eagle would represent the cosmological world, you know, the world above.
That is so fascinating. We're going to have to definitely come back to this later in the interview. All
right, and then to answer your question about the dancing, so I was actually at Burning Man this past year, and I was starting to just really be in this like amazing dance space and really weaving and feeling like I was just kind of getting lost in the dance. And I went with a friend of mine to this little kind of Bedouin tent, and there were a bunch of people there, and I was listening to a guy speak, and I was really captivated by his story. And he started talking about the connection to his name in the Bible. And at some point, these three women are like, "Oh, he's a great dancer." So I'm like, "Oh, that's awesome." And then they're like, "No, we're talking about you." And they had just been observing me kind of in this weaving wild dance that I was just doing on my own. And I thought it was funny how kind of when I allowed myself to just be taken away by the dance, it was appreciated and noticed.
That's so cool. And you let yourself go with it versus being so conscious of the people around you and having that affect the way that you're tapping into the music.
Yeah, it's totally unscripted and totally interpretive and not thinking about am I looking cool or what do people think of me? Just, letting it all out, you know?
Yeah, and have you always been like that, or did it take a while to reach that place?
In different ways, yes. I think in terms of really like the expansive freedom of connecting to something way beyond what's physically even in front of us. That was kind of a new development.
Wow, I can't wait to delve way deeper on this. I'm taking all these notes because like you're such a man of infinite wisdom. But let's continue on with the rapid fire round here.
Let's do it.
What's a place that you'd recommend for everybody to see in their lifetime?
Wow. Well, I would definitely say the inner space, because I think wherever we go, there we are. And a lot of times people get caught up in names and, you know, or even through travel, like, "Oh, you should go to this place." But I believe it's a lot about what were you feeling in that moment. You know, if you went with the love of your life to Maui and you were at the top of your career, maybe you had an amazing time, right? Whereas, so it's a lot about how you're feeling in the moment. I do think nature is incredible. I love the U.S. I think if I were to say, for me, I mean, what it's a challenging question because for me, what's personal, you know, I loved Ghana. I loved Africa. I feel like I came alive in Africa in a really unique way. But other people may have different experiences. You know, I'd say go where you want to go, where you feel an inner calling to go.
Yeah.
Trust that because that'll build that trust. And so if it's more, I would recommend if people have something that they're yearning to go to, go. You know, that might be different for me than them.
Love it. Beautiful. Yeah. Create your own adventure.
Exactly.
What do you find interesting right now?
What do I find interesting? Energy, you know, the interconnection to all things, I think is super fascinating and not something people normally talk about. I was actually just taking a taxi ride back from Los Angeles and I split, my phone died and I wanted to do a pool and I couldn't do it. And I was going through this process where I was like, if I just walk up to a stranger and I'm like, "Hey, can I split your Uber or Lyft?" what are they gonna, are they gonna be comfortable with it? Like, you know, the verbal. Yeah. And I was creating a bit of that story. Anyway, I met up, went up going to the taxi line, and I was like, this isn't efficient. Like, people are taking their own taxis. We should carpool. We're going to the same place. So I asked this guy, and he was a really interesting character, perfect person for me to meet. And the one thing that he said that stuck out to me was how everything's connected. You know, he's like, the way I'm successful in business is I allow myself to see the interconnection to the buildings, to the people, to everything. And that kind of stuck with me as a nice way of re-entering New York, you know, to remind myself that we're connected to everyone at all times and everything at all times.
When you approached him, what was his initial response?
He was cool. He was like, he was into it. He was like, he thought about it for a moment, and I was in a really optimistic, positive, very clear state. Like, I was, I would say, determined to see it through. Like, hey, are you going to the same place? Yes, cool. Like, let's do it together. You know? Yeah. So he was open.
What do you think about most?
How I can serve and support people and the comedy and the craziness of life, that we think we know life and that we are thinking beings and that we have concepts, like we build buildings and we build companies and we look for the loves of our lives, and these are all concepts, and that we get so captivated and attached to these stories that they are sometimes not allowing us to be fully expansive and to let go and to just not take things so seriously and to be light and fun. So yeah, like life, I guess the subject of life and how we have received life and how we've been, how society shaped and molded people without them even being aware of what they've ingested. I think that's wild. Like, absolutely. I don't see how it, you know.
I mean, the social constructs that we live in, I mean, from the second we're born, we're inundated with it, and our parents and everyone else around us, that it's so easy to subscribe to. Not subscribing to it is the tougher thing.
Yeah, and a concept of self is something that I've started to explore. Like, like, why do we have a concept of self? Where does that come from? And then what is the journey within that through experiencing life, through an identity, through as being an individual? And I think that's a lot of where you see things happening in the world right now. Division, separation, result in, because I look at everything as kind of a two sides of the same coin. Love and fear, you know, hate, you know, all these things. You look at the concept of self, well, oh, I need to take care of myself, or I need to look out for myself, or all of these kind of modern terms. Even the fact that you're Mark and I'm Doug, why is that? And what is, how much, and what do we see in relation to that? How much do we see that we are aware of the similarities? Or are we seeing the differences? What are we putting our attention towards? And what grows as a result of that? And how aware are we of that?
So good. So good. Yeah, to me, when I think about that and the identity and the ego, it's survival. And it's the protection mechanism. As humans, we like to conquer. We like to, you know, it's the natural, you know, Darwin survival of the fittest in order to protect our genes and to forward them. That's right, where I think the selfishness comes into play.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've been exploring a lot of, like, the non-attachment to self and the identity and all of it, you know, allowing that to just disappear. And so I guess attachment to the non-attachment of the self, you know, because even by thinking, you're creating matter, which is binding energy is creating an attachment. So just even the simple concepts of any of these things, once we entertain them, they take a certain form. So there is, you know, an attachment, so to speak, of it.
How do you keep your perspective?
Through studying, research, feeling, you know, really tuning into myself. Like, it's, I found that it's very easy to spirituality can be a trap because it can be very binding. And certainly if you don't see other people's perspectives, what is life? You know, even if you believe that truth is absolute, but another person doesn't believe that, what are you doing in this lifetime? It, you know, are you so lasered in on the way you think? So I'm flexible. You know, I think that's a really key characteristic of, like, being open-minded and also being able to say, you know, you in a way, like you said, you have to choose to participate in society. It's harder to not, right? or you don't have to, but it's, you know, most people choose to. And what is the journey within that that you're having? Yeah. And just so feeling a bit of feeling, like checking on myself, being like, does this feel good? Does this feel like it's filling me up, or it's just having a positive impact? And studying a lot, like through reading or through going and visiting different cultures and experience, you know, having different experiences, and then saying, well, that was interesting. You know, that I not to say that it necessarily needs to mean anything, yeah, but simply allowing yourself to have an experience without being attached to an outcome or a preconceived idea of it, and just seeing what kind of magic brews, what happens, what effect, you know, takes place. So it's a combination of studying things that have come before me, and then forming my own opinions as well, because I've been to a lot of indigenous cultures and they have a doctrine and they can't see outside of the doctrine, you know? Yep. So I can kind of weave in all these things and say, well, this, I'll pick a little bit of that, pick a little bit of that, that works. That vibes with me, that doesn't. And I've created my own formula as a result of it.
We talked a little bit about ego and our own perspectives and sometimes getting trapped in it or whatnot, attached to our identity. Curious, when you're on a high and when you're on a low, what stories are you telling yourself in each of those situations?
So when I'm on a high, I think it's probably around, wow, what an effect I'm having. And if I'm at a low, I'm thinking probably somewhat opposite. Okay, like, yeah, what effect do I want to be happening, or why is this happening to me, right? It's right, probably, yeah, there's some connection to self, that you are creating this or you're not creating this, you know. And again, that's kind of what I was saying with the comedic absurdity when you look at the idea that we think we know something. And so we start attaching stories to that. Like, oh, well, I did this and this, and you, like, you know, a psychic, how if a psychic, yeah, says like 3 out of 10 things and 3 land with you,
right,
like, well, those 3 things landed, but in terms of their batting average, it might be low if they missed on 7, but you only retain the 3 things that resonated. So,
sure.
Yeah.
So good. What do you think, what's a topic that you think more people should know about?
Eating, what to put in your body, digestion, you know, thoughts, kind of, it's all interrelated. So yeah, I would say health and nutrition, wellness, how to create an equilibrium, you know, in yourself, how to create balance. I just see so many people, especially being in New York, and they're just charged, and they're, you can see their energy is kind of like very intense, and there's like this dominance to do something and to win or to persevere, like you said, and just to be able to sit back and allow things to happen, mm-hmm, without really being attached to the mental concepts that come up that create this fear and separation, mm-hmm, and just allowing things to happen, and, you know, like the wind hitting your face, just allowing that experience to happen and unfold. And surrender to
them. What a concept. Allowing the wind to hit our, yeah, face. It's going to hit our face anyways,
yeah,
whether we like it or not. Exactly. But it's whether we let ourselves feel it.
Yeah.
Really amazing.
Without needing to guide it or drive it or do anything with it or make sense of it.
What is your intention these days in general?
To stay in a vibrational state that I feel is supportive of myself and the world at large. And to... yeah, to feel that. I felt a lot of electricity often. Like, I feel a lot of electricity running through me, and sometimes it's like really heightened. And I look at like food as electricity and nutrition and everything, and just to be able to do that so that I can be a positive force in the world, mm-hmm, that's creating kind of a bit of label, but just to exist in a place that feels in relation, in balance with what I've, mm-hmm, experienced, and also be able to feel like I'm actively contributing and supporting others as well.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Since this show is all about being real.
Yes.
What is something that is super real and perhaps challenging for you?
I would say, well, I was definitely exploring the concept of freedom for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we both read that book, Sapiens, and
yeah,
Amadeus,
oh, yeah, so
and
good,
talk,
yeah,
about even these ideas or just mental concepts of what is happiness. It's a subjective idea that you know, society tells us, but we're measuring it. So I always think about, like, if you were an ancient person, you didn't even know what happiness, maybe me and you would just be stoked and like playing with acorns and like, you know, like we didn't have an idea of like what the magazines say and comparison. And, you know, I love this
family
quote.
Or having money or whatever it may be.
Yeah. So the question was,
what's challenging for me? For you?
Yeah. So I think having like the freedom and the fun, and then also feel like I'm, you know, contributing my energy as much, or not as much, but as I can be, that it is planting the seeds. It is moving things in the direction that would benefit society. And so it's a little bit of that ability to feel like you're doing your part and enough without needing to go on a grand mission. And because I think missionizing, as we were talking about earlier, can be something that is dangerous. You know, you look at, and I can go into examples of that, but it's, yeah.
So good. And then last question of this round of the interviews. So this show is called The One and Only. The premise is there's 7 billion people on this planet. And there's only one of each of us.
Uh-huh.
What makes you the one and only? What makes you one of a kind, Mr. Aiken?
I like that one. So I feel like I've always kind of, for the most part, seen people as people, and I haven't seen that many walls, and I feel like I'm quicker to get there with someone. It doesn't mean I'm perfect. It just means that, you know, like when I was young, I'd see a homeless person, I'd just run up to the homeless person and I'd want to engage, and they were interesting to me, or a taxi driver, I'd want to talk to the taxi driver. And so I think through that, I've been able to be very social with people that someone might perceive as like, oh, that's a stranger. And I'm there. I don't see a wall. I don't see as many things separating me and them. And so I think my willingness to engage would be a really unique asset and stay positive. And really, when I'm in a, you know, community or collective environment, it could be work, it could be anywhere, that I maintain a pretty positive outlook. And I think that's something that people sometimes are looking for as a champion or a leader, to say, hey, things are going to be okay.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Doug, I've been looking forward to this conversation for so long. The first time I heard about you was from Austin Biznow. I had him back on the podcast probably in November of 2015. I think it was like episode 50 or... you know, it was even before then, somewhere around then, but a long time ago. And I asked him, who do I need to have on the show? And he was very quick to say you. And he was also very quick to say, I don't know if you're going to be able to get him. And I'm like, like, you know, like, why not? Is he like, you know, some big celebrity or like, and I think I reached out to you and didn't hear from you for a while, but you live such an exciting lifestyle. You pretty much are on the road all the time, right? Traveling around the globe and checking out different cultures. And you're so passionate. We finally connected probably close to a year ago, I'd say.
Yeah.
We had a nice phone conversation. I think I was on the way to the airport, and I remember connecting with you and being so excited to tap into your passion and everything that you stand for. And we decided in that moment, all right, the next time we're in the same city, we're going to sit down and get mic'd up.
Yeah.
And then we ran into each other at Burning Man. I didn't do any interviews there. And then we both lost our fathers around the same time and have kept in touch. And here we are in NYC doing it right now.
Cool, man. It's funny, that journey. Yeah, it seems like so long ago when that original connection. And it's great.
You are such a mysterious man. And at the same time, you're not mysterious. Couldn't find a lot about you online. I'd love to take a deep dive and try to find out as much as I possibly can about all my guests.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm so excited to just sit down and shoot the shit with you and you know, hear what you're up to. But you had a traditional conventional job in marketing for a number of years and were very successful, right?
Yes.
And then graduated from that and have moved on to being a globetrotter and making a social impact around the world. And you have a new project called Base Project?
Yeah, that's something actually that's been going on for a few years.
Oh, it is? Yeah. Okay, so I definitely want to learn more about that.
Sure.
But before we do, there's a few things that I'm curious to learn more about. We talked about the cosmic dancing. You've got a number of different things that you've written in your Instagram bio. Maestro, alchemist, evolutionary guide, culture weaver. Sure. Take us into a couple of those and what those mean.
Sure. I mean, they're all kind of the same spirit. You know, it's to say that where we are in society, and I think the roles have, for the most part, been pretty much the same. You know, in certain cultures, you would have a shaman, you might have a psychiatrist in, you know, the United States. Now, maybe the tools that they utilize are different, but in terms of the function and the structure. So I kind of see myself as somebody that's able to guide people, listen, and kind of understand what is potentially beyond the words and beyond the limited beliefs and the thinking, very similar to you, but I do it through my presence and my being. And, you know, some of that involves the dance, alchemy. I like the notion of alchemy and the practice of alchemy, that you can literally transform something, that you are the agent of change. You are the alchemist. And I think a lot of people look for that, you know, and I'm very passionate about inspiring and turning people on to being their own shaman, you know, finding the tools that work for you. And the same thing, like seeing what is that alchemical ability that you have that can turn that limited belief or the negative thought into a positive thought. And a lot of that happens through conversation, which you do very well. So I kind of look at myself as really just an artist and somebody that has a very good understanding of kind of where people are at. Hopefully that's the intention, you know, to connect and relate and guide and support. And nature has always been a really strong advocate and a place that I found a lot of connection to, and just the way that we've lived historically. It's not complex, you know, it's how have we lived and what has kind of disrupted our natural flow or our ability to be in flow, and supporting people in that process.
Beautiful. That was so eloquent and well said. And I want to hear more about the evolution of Doug.
Sure. So, you know, when I was, I think as a male, when you grow up in society, you have a certain level of thought responsibility that you say, well, and probably with all people, we graduate, right, from college, and we say, well, what am I going to do now? And, you know, there's certainly the aspect of how do I make money and following your passion? And the hope for most people is that they align. So when I was younger, I was very, like, artistic. I was into writing graffiti. I was into kind of breaking boundaries and rules in school and not being totally conformist, you know, forming my own view in the world.
And I can see
So that was an interesting experience, you know, for my parents and for the schools. I was having probably more fun. And when I got into college, actually high school, I started promoting nightclubs. So I started realizing, you know, really early on that I was able to gather people effectively. And I was, you know, promoting these parties and bringing DJs and, you know, bringing different schools together. And it was successful. So at a pretty young age, I figured out how I could participate in a community and how I could bring people together and how they could have fun and be entertained and I could make money on it, which was an amazing gift to receive at like 17. Mm-hmm. And I really was kind of from there off to the races. So I went to college, started utilizing, turning on that skill. Again, a friend of mine said, hey, you should do this here. So I did it in school. And by the time I was graduating, I was already kind of making a very high salary. And I had 30 people working under me. And I was working with different, you know, corporate brands. And I was coming up with these creative ideas. And I was implementing them in nightclubs. So I had a channel, you know, to get my creativity out. Mm-hmm. And I was being rewarded for it. So that was amazing. You know, I was originally studying film and television. I thought, wow, it'd be really cool to be like a Howard Stern or Woody Allen type. That was like what I really liked, the idea of, you know, creating content. And I didn't have as much of an idea of, like, I mean, it's probably more goofy and silly at the time. Now the content's changed. But I think the spirit of, you know, creating something that is entertaining, that people can connect to, is there. And then when I graduated school, I didn't want to be in nightclubs forever. So I thought, what can I transition into? And I was very creative, and I was already seeing marketing as like a channel to work with corporations. So a friend of mine from college and I partnered up with another guy who had some success in the marketing world. And we started an agency, really just out of our bedrooms. Mm-hmm. And that was like an 8-year ride.
That's phenomenal. So what happened next?
So then I realized at that point, I was like, you know, early, I set a goal. I thought, you know, I was 20. I said, I want to be a millionaire by the time I'm 30, and I want to work with the biggest brands in the world. And I just did it. Like, it, you know, it's funny. People talk about manifesting.
Right.
And I kind of see two sides to it. You know, some people get caught up in the idea of it. And some people just do it. They're not, like, thinking about it. They're just doing it. And I think that's what you see in the more corporate world that sometimes gets, you know, maybe mislabeled. That there's people out there. And for why they're doing it is a different question. But to manifest the money and things like that, you just put yourself down the path to say, you know, is this working and are the wheels turning, right? Mm-hmm. So I got to a point where at 30, I reached my financial goal. I reached my career goal in terms of representing these major corporations. And it felt a little like, maybe, I don't know, was this the way I envisioned it? It seems a little less exciting now that I'm on the top of the mountain. Yeah. And it's the journey, right? Yeah. You know, that's kind of the metaphor.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, what's next? And I really started thinking, what's my purpose in life? And is there such a thing even? And how does one go about discovering their purpose? And I also realized that I wanted to travel. I'd been so laser focused. And that's kind of why I was talking about balance. It's such an important ingredient in life. And I was so laser focused on business, and I had become very successful as a result of being focused. But I also felt like there was a part of me and a part of the world that I wanted to explore that I hadn't given myself permission to, because it was business before everything else. So that sparked a 1-year trip. I thought, well, all right, I'm in a great financial place. Let me go travel around the world. So I bought a backpack, and it's funny, like, looking back, it's like, I just had like no idea. Like, it's like, I'm like on Lonely Planet. Like, how many pairs of underwear should I bring for like an 8-month trip? Like, it was just funny, like, thinking back on it. And I went and, I started traveling, and I just figured it out. I had no experience, no plan. I bought a 1-way ticket to India, and I just went. And actually, before that, I lived out of a van for 2 months with a friend of mine. And that was very transformational, because I was living in a really nice place in the West Village. And, you know, I owned a restaurant as well. That kind of got thrown in there for 2 years. And I just had freedom, or a feeling of that, and could kind of, you know, chart my own destiny and drive, so to speak, wherever I wanted to. Mm-hmm. And that was very freeing. And then from that period, I went and I did this 18-month, 8.5-month travel around the world. I bought a boombox midway through, and I was just dancing through Africa. I went to 10 countries, and I just would dance and sing for people. And it was amazing, like the connections that I made.
You were solo.
I was solo for about half of it, yeah. So when I got back from that trip, I thought, wow, like, I don't think I can go back into like a traditional role in, you know, in the world. I didn't know what it was, but I just had, there was something that was so incredible without, I was just doing what I felt inside of me. And it was not a company, and it was not a job title. It was not connected or related to a salary or reach or, it was just being. And I was literally, I wasn't filming it on a TV show. Mm-hmm. I was just literally walking around the boombox and blasting Bob Marley. And people were like, "We're just see me from this, you know, this foreign country." And they like were laughing, and they'd invite me over to come dance for them, and they'd feed me. And I was just at a point where I was like, wow, this is wild. You know, this is like really incredible. And it challenged so much of what I knew and what I was around, which was like, these entrepreneurs, and, you know, people were like, I'm starting a business and I'm starting another business. And I had never felt anything like this feeling of just of being kind of lost in the moment, I guess would be a way to say it.
Wow. That is totally a different paradigm than I can even imagine. In terms of, like, I just can only put myself in your shoes, and I can go on vacation. I just got back from Colombia. It was an amazing trip. We built 10 homes and did it alongside some of my favorite people in the entire world, you know, many who are mutual friends of ours. And I was able to completely let go and be present for, I'd say, 10 of the 12 days, which was big for me because I'm so focused on, you know, getting the word out and supporting people, whether through the podcast or through my Winning Weeks program or being a good friend or whatnot, that I was able to let go, which was big for me because I usually work all the time. But then with 2 days left, as I was prepping to come back home, I felt that, all right, what do I need to do next? Am I wasting time right now? Am I not taking good care of myself? And I think it's amazing that you could take that much time off and allow yourself to be present. And it's tough for me to even comprehend that the conversation, you know, like I know in my head would be like, what happens when I run out of money? Or what kind of value am I creating in the world? Or I'm missing the people that I've grown accustomed to being around back home, like my family. So I'm curious, have you experienced those things? And how did those come up for you?
Yeah, I mean, originally I think I had a different concept of work, you know? And I feel like we're always working, you know, we're always coming up against ourselves. And that's, you know, the myth of traveling to escape, you know, yourself is the myth, because you wake up every day with yourself. So you can never really fully escape. And so originally it was really around wanting to do good in the world. And then I just started realizing that every conversation I had, there was something, because it's a mirror. And so there's something that's happening with everyone, you know, that I would meet people on the road and they would say, well, how did you make enough money to go travel? And I would be able to inspire them and give them kind of a, I don't want to say an injection, because it's their choice to receive it, but hopefully some inspiration to say, hey, you can create your own reality. You can, you know, I didn't even, when I started making money, think, oh, I have this grand vision of making money and traveling the world. That would be interesting. But I had no idea. I didn't even know I liked traveling until I started traveling. So, you know, it's interesting how when you just create space, you allow things to happen. And I started realizing, wow, I'm interacting with people wherever I go. It's very no different than being in an office. You could make the argument to say, hey, is my service being better served being able to spread myself out to, you know, thousands of people rather than just influencing the same 100 people in an office space? And what are the accolades? What are society rewarding? And what feels true to me in that moment? And so I started feeling like, wow, you know, I'm absorbing things, I'm learning, I'm having a life experience. And in this moment, it feels good, or it feels like this is what I'm doing. And I don't need to make sense of it to anyone. And I don't need to. And of course, I mean, yes, I always would brush up against goals. I think even money, you know, you could have. Will Smith was quoted saying that he was had a fear that he would run out of money. I'm like, wow, that's comical, right? Like, come on, I mean, you're Will Smith, like you're not gonna have a problem, right? But people have fears, and where do those fears come from? And so, yeah, I think it's about the observation, like, you know, a little bit of what you were tuning into, like, where is this coming from? This need to get back to work and you know, and do things and. And that does not mean that if you're deriving tremendous amount of fire and joy and passion from doing the podcast, of course, then that might be your story or your journey to get back into that space of creating. But it might also be your journey to surrender and be in flow and maybe have an opposite experience, you know. So I feel like we're so conditioned, you know, it's like you gotta get up and work and make something and accomplish something. And I've just been, that's part of the alchemy, rethinking that. Like a friend of mine was saying, oh, why don't you go make something? I was like, well, I am. And we're making something. It doesn't have to always be physical or always the way that we envision it or think it needs to happen. You know, we're always creating, we're always being, we're always, whether we know it or not or like it or not, you know, it's you're, you know, you go to work, but you're living all throughout the day, and the way you treat your neighbor, the way you treat the shopkeeper, the way you treat, you know, the taxi driver, I feel that's life. And we've just kind of broken out of the community where we don't know each other and we don't have the same belief systems, and there's diversity and you know, a lot of beauty in that. But then, so the guy who's a success, the guy goes to work, but he treats his cab driver like crap. And then that guy's high strung. And then what's the domino effect?
Wow. Your perspective is so refreshing. And I just love it because it fits in so well with the DNA of the show about are you being real? And you've really put the whole idea to the test. And I really, from my perspective, released yourself from the shackles that is the social construct and freeing yourself and going experiencing and really reinventing what it means to be in service and value. especially when you were saying, well, I don't need to be in the office making an impact and with the same 100 people when I can be out there with thousands of people. So how long have you been living this type of lifestyle for?
It's a little under 7 years.
Wow. Yeah. That's incredible.
Yeah.
And do you think that you'll continue to do this for the foreseeable future?
You know, I'm actually at a place right now. I thought it would be a year of travel. And but, you know, again, I mean, it's all story and it's all it's just what our expectation is.
Yeah.
Certain things changes over time. I started seeing a lot of benefit of interacting with different communities. So I was living in Bali and really immersing myself as a traveler, not a tourist, you know, that I was engaged in the community. So I was present and I was had an active role, which I think that's historically how, you know, in Judaism and Christianity and all religions and all ethnicities, it's like you were in a community, a tribe, you had a role. So I'm always, you know, playing a role or some series of roles within these communities that I visited. Now I am really passionate about getting back to a bit of a routine, and the nomadicism has been amazing. And I've certainly, you know, tested the time range of it and reinterpreted it. But I'm now looking at probably grounding down, you know, a good 70 to 80% of the year being in one physical place in nature, really being able to kind of demonstrate, I think, you know, the values and the just the ideology or just the beingness is probably a stronger way of saying it. Just the beingness and having, you know, food growing around me, the community, the life that I feel is kind of allows me to be in balance and in service, and then inviting people with it into that space.
Cool. Where do you see that being?
Probably be the West Coast.
Okay.
A combination. I'm feeling into it. I like the West Coast in the U.S. I think there's a lot of value. I like the idea you can just kind of drive to different national parks and things like that. I like the fertility of tropical zones like Costa Rica and some other areas. So that will certainly be something to integrate, you know?
And out of curiosity, is there an elder in your family or perhaps a mentor that you look up to? I'm curious to know what their wisdom would be for you.
You want me to say what I think they would say to me?
Yeah, in terms of their
I have a good story.
Yeah.
I was going to Israel on a trip that you went on, and I was sitting down at a Mediterranean restaurant with my parents. And I thought, like, you know, Israel is a kind of a dicey place. I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I'm not going to live my life in fear.
Yeah.
I'm going to go.
Yeah.
However, who knows, right? Like, and I just thought, I want to ask my parents a question. So we're sitting at dinner. I'm like, hey, you know, I got a question for you guys. Out of all the things, what do you want me to know? You know, like, when it's all said and done, like, if I were to retain something, like, what would it be from you? All the wisdom, all the teaching, all the upbringing, the parenting, like, how do we sum it up? And I was so curious, what would your parents say? You have no idea. I mean, or maybe you do, but maybe you'll be surprised. So my mom says, I just want to know you were a nice person. I thought, wow, that's good. I'm there. Yeah. I'm already there. Yeah, you know? Yeah. And then, you know, and my dad is more like the Jewish businessman. And I'm like, what's he going to say? I'm curious too. So he said, you know, you could do anything you put your mind to. Wow, that's so perfect and so true and so amazing. And, you know, the limited beliefs and everything that we hold of what we are. And so the combination of those two, I thought were really powerful.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing. Did something come to your mind when your dad said that to you?
Well, I mean, at the time, I think I was just more in the exploratory state, you know? I just thought it was a great way to sum up, you know, wisdom of, you know, when you're searching or you're looking or you're thinking about what you're going to do in the world, the alchemy of could be as simple as saying, instead of, you know, what should I do? Or what should I be doing? What could I be doing? And allow yourself to have that
all the possibilities
ability to go there. And so, you know, recently I've explored more of the artistic realms, music and singing and songwriting and of course like writing a book and being able to really share these stories and share. I feel like ultimately in life people are looking for connection. and to be understood a lot of times. You know, why do we tell stories? Why do we have language? What is it all? Why do we go out and have dinner and socialize? I think there's a primal desire for some of these things, but I think it stems from the ability to connect, to not just solely be in your own thoughts and mind, but to listen to others and connect. And I feel like a lot of life is about connection.
Thank you for sharing. I appreciate it. I got a couple of questions from the Peanut Gallery.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I wanted to ask a couple of our friends.
I love it.
Ask you.
So nice.
This first question is, we got two actually from David Denberg.
Ooh.
Yeah. Good. The first is, how do you vibrate at such a high frequency?
I microdose every day. No, I'm just. I do. But it's not just on psychedelics. It's a great question. It's hard because I've never been in someone else's body, so to speak. You know, I think I've always been high energy. I think that directing that energy, you know, when you have a lot of energy, it's important to zone in and direct it. You can kind of spread your energy a lot of places. Not that it's a bad thing. I don't see things as like really sucking, you know. Even when I'm really low, I think I'm able to pull myself out of that. I think I just draw energy from people, you know. Actually, my old business partner said to me, he said, I have a question for you. Like, do you think you're better in solitude or with people, like in terms of like what feeds you energetically? I never thought about it. And I didn't even know the answer at the time, but it was so obvious. It was like, yeah, like when I'm around people, I'm like, I'm excited. Like I like seeing people and it makes me come alive. So I think that is just a primary thing. Like being in the mix, you know, it's fun.
We got another question from Mr. Denberg, and he asks you what your observations are on culture and what sets us apart and what unifies us.
Yeah. Well, I like the etymology. Like I actually consider myself a roots doctor. Like what are the roots of things? And like you talked about belief systems, fear, like what's at the root of it?
Because, and this is the underworld that
you're talking about. Yeah, earlier. Exactly.
Okay, awesome.
So, and that's where like a lot of herbalism and stuff comes from, is like clearing things out and strengthening. And there's a lot of interesting aspects around that. Good connection pickup. So I always like to go to the roots of things. And his question was what again?
Your observations on culture.
Oh, culture. So the word culture actually comes from cultivate, which is interesting. And the etymology of it is to cultivate, is to plant seeds and allow things to grow. And so I like to think about like, what are we cultivating in the world, right? Are we cultivating love? Are we cultivating fear? And of course, these are concepts. But if you look at the world, you turn on the news, people aren't saying, you know, oh, we have a breaking news story. Doug got a free avocado downstairs, right? It's like the terror, it's the fear. And what does that feel like internally? You're like, oh my God, the world's like that? That's not what the world's like. This is what they're choosing to filter and show to you. So I think in terms of culture, it's malleable. It's up to us to create the culture. You know, we're certainly part of a system, and the system can be reinterpreted. We have the freedom. You know, we walk down the street, it's like, what's the vibe you want to create? You know, do you want to smile at people? And like, after maybe 10 people don't smile at you, are you going to like stop smiling? Or are you going to hold the integrity to be like, you know what? I feel good and I want to smile. And like, I don't care what society says, if I'm weird or I'm this or I'm that, I'm going to be in that vibration. So I feel like culture is, it's up to us. We're creating the language. We're creating the ritual, the symbology, the stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And what are we inheriting? What's serving us? What are we willing to throw out? What are we willing to plant new seeds around? I have a meditation practice as well of like thinking, what do you want to cultivate, and allowing those things to grow. And that's why nature is so powerful, with the seasons and the cycles. And you look at springing forward, the harvest, the bounty, the winter, the reflection. Yeah, it's important to be tuned into that stuff.
Where are we at today, the state of the world? I'm really curious to get your take on that. I read, I think in maybe a Facebook post, that you believe that we go through cycles.
Yeah.
So what cycle are we in today?
Sure.
And what cycle's coming next?
Wow, that's a great question. And so if you look at a little bit what we talked about earlier, Mayan astrology and ink in astrology, and if you look at the Mayan calendar, which people are, oh, the world's going to come to an end in 2012, it just symbolized a rebirth. It symbolized a new era. So there's actually this new cycle, which is really standing in integrity and really doing the work you're doing, or you're participating in, is saying, hey, I'm going to be a shining light, and I'm going to, you know, hold these conversations and be able to show people a way, a potentiality, and a path. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of shedding the old layers and building on new layers. And of course, in those moments, there's chaos, there's fear, there's heightened anxiety, uncertainty. All these things are coming up. I mean, I could, you know, this is could be like a segment in itself, but I do think that, you know, things show up for us to have human connection around. So you see a tragedy in the world. Well, it's to have empathy. It's to have compassion. You know, I have a thing I always think about myself, a question I ask, like what is this situation calling upon me for? And it's usually compassion or patience. You know, if I'm going through something, mm-hmm. it's like, what is this situation asking from me? It's like, oh, patience, compassion. Okay, cool. So it's like, you see like Syria, and yeah, it's a tragedy. I mean, I'm not dismissing it, but there's been death and, you know, there's civil wars. I mean, there's, you know, countries, even when I travel in Africa, the tribes treat the people within their country, their neighbors, more hostile than, you know, than we see things outside, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that it's a cycle that, you know, there's going to be a, you know, a lot of things happening for us to stand up for what we believe in. You know, if we don't like things, we're the source of change. We also have to recognize that there's a shadow that we all have, you know, that nobody's perfect, that we all have stuff that we're attached to, and that the current situation is really a larger mirror and a larger reflection of where we're at, that we don't live in a United States. There's division, there's race, there's gender, there's a lot of stuff that I'm like, I look at it like, is this stuff bringing us together? You know, bring the men and the women together. It's great to have women's circles and it's great to have men's circles, but we need to have unity and we need to bring people together and we need to understand each other. We need to listen and learn and just evolve. And we're charting our future now. So it's like, if we're not happy with the way things are, be the source of the change. You know, it's easy to look at things and go, oh, the world's messed up, but what are you doing to participate? And so I always bring it back to you as the source. And of course, how you see things is a reflection of how you are. So, mm-hmm. you know, that's the mirror effect. If you're, you know, if you're freaked out and you're unstable, you're going to start seeing instability in the world. You're just going to show up. If you look for love, you're going to find love. Go walk down the street and look for reasons to see love and you'll find it. You'll see lovers kissing and holding hands. You'll see a guy mm-hmm. dropping coins in the bucket of homeless people. So I don't actually think we're as bad as a lot of people who are like freaked out think. I do think there's a lot of good in the world. I do think that we are making a lot of large scale decisions based on profit and based on what society says, you know, this is success. Look at the newspapers or mm-hmm. you know, the magazines that portray success. And I talked about health and wellness and the wheel yep. and yep. turning. And you look at, I mean, if you don't need a lot, you know, if you look at happiness studies to be happy, and yet people still want more and more and more, and they want more possessions. And well, great. Well, why is the ecosystem and the climate in disharmony and disbalance? Well, because we are, because we're not thinking about, what do I need? You know, like I said about the avocado when I went downstairs, mm-hmm. I was like, I just want an avocado. And it's like, no, we got to sell you like 20 superfoods that like, you know, might bring your system like into chaos so we can make a profit, so we can import things, so we can pay people. It's, yeah, I think it's a little bit about from the ground up rather than the top down.
It ties to so many different things that you're talking about right there. I want to go back into, are you being real about what you're participating in? Because I think like it's really important to bring that home full circle. Mm-hmm. Because we're making decisions all day throughout our lives, and it's really easy not to be conscious about maybe where our food's coming from or wearing clothing that we're not really sure where, you know, where their objectives are or what their initiatives and foundations and charities and stuff that they're involved in. So I'm wondering if you could take us back to that and delve one level deeper in terms
sure.
of being real about what we're participating in.
Well, it's definitely about your own feeling of self-worth and of willing to make the leap. If you are in a job that's not serving you, how long are you going to tell that story for? How many times are you going to meet your friend for drinks and say you're not happy? When are you going to make the jump? You know, when are you going to listen to people telling you that you're awesome? Are you going to retire the story that's not serving you and be able to be in the space of creation, of harmony, of being who you truly are and not seeing this illusion of who you're not? So I think in observing and seeing, sometimes people are, you know, afraid that, well, you know, I don't have it so bad. And I do think that the exterior is largely an illusion because it's an interior thing. But if you're not internally happy, like, I think it's people say, oh, it's about what you do. I think it's about how you do it and less about what you do. Like, if I went into a corporate structure, it would be about how I do the dance, not as much about what I'm doing, you know. And of course, there's a global implication mm-hmm. to think about, but how you're interacting with people on a day-to-day basis. So I think about what it's like the truth that what is real to you about what you're participating in. You're in a relationship that doesn't feel good. Like, are you being true and real with yourself about it? And are you like, oh, this is as good as it's going to get? Like, why not believe in like you having bliss and love and escaping this story that's not serving you? We did a men's camp, and I love, we had a really amazing teacher, was a Native American Apache youth counselor. And he said, his question was, what story are you willing to no longer tell? That was his ask. And I love that. And it kind of ties in. Mm-hmm. It's like, when are you going to retire the story that is only real because you're feeding it? And it's not even real. Where did it come from? What was its origin story? It's like, we're sitting here and we're just in bliss and nothing's happening. And then all of a sudden something presses up against us and we react based on fear, right? Which is a survival instinct. And then it's like, no, but this happened and this happened. Like, did it? Or is it just our idea and our need to make sense of something and to be right or to... So, yeah, that's kind of where I was thinking about the win, where it's just like allowing it all to be just free and mm-hmm. fluid and not needing to attach to it all. And the stories are beautiful if they're around painting a really beautiful story about how you're the most magical, beautiful human in the world. If it's a story about not enoughness, then possibly it needs to be rewoven.
Tell us about Base Project.
Yeah.
Is that your kind of main
financial source? No, I mean, my main thing is this, is the being. Okay. Yeah. And so Base Project was an initiative that my brother and I created when we started traveling. I wanted to do something that gave back. I thought I was in advertising. I started, it was interesting actually, I started like losing my voice, and it was a metaphor that I saw, which was like, did I believe the stuff that I was selling? And I really didn't. I was getting paid millions of dollars by Pepsi and big corporations. And I just lost this like internal fire to believe this was like, is the stuff coming out of my mouth feel like it's of highest magnitude for the world right now? Mm. I wasn't thinking that, but I literally had a hard time, you know, selling the stuff I was selling. And so I went on this travel trip and I thought, wow, I'd love to do something like a Tom Shoes or something that felt, this is, you know, 7 years ago, that was like culturally relevant. So my brother and I traveled and we visited. I saw a bracelet he was wearing and I thought, wow, that's an amazing bracelet. Where'd it come from? He said, Namibia. So I was traveling through Namibia traveling through Africa, and I found myself wanting to go to Namibia, wanting to visit tribal cultures, understand the roots, understand where we came from, understand something beyond modern culture. Mm-hmm. And I thought tribes would be the answer. So I went and I visited these tribes, really amazing ancient tribes in Namibia that still live the same way they've lived for the last, you know, thousands of years. And so my brother and I became a bridge, and we sat down with a cooperative, and they said, we don't have a lot of people traveling here and we'd love to get our art out into the world. And so we became a bridge and we thought, we'll help you. We didn't think it, we did it. And so these are two of the bracelets. They're all featuring indigenous artwork. Mm-hmm. We built community gardens. We've sent indigenous children to school so they can get an education. So if they want to participate in the modern world, and part of that I think is also preserving their own ancient culture, making sure that doesn't die, that they have the bandwidth to do that. So, yeah, so that's been an awesome way to feel like I was traveling, I was giving back, I was participating in a global ecosystem of things that align with my values around things that were handmade, knowing the person that made it, having a connection abroad, not just sending money and charity as your action, but being able to wear something that had certain symbology to it. And everything is that they wear has symbolism. You don't just wear a necklace to wear it. It's like, I have three children, or like, you know, I like lost my husband. It all is steeped in ritual and symbolism. And I think that's really fascinating.
It's so fascinating to carry that around. It has that meaning. It's that ongoing reminder as well, that perspective.
How it makes you feel. Yeah. And, wow, I feel like I gave an impact. I know the person that made it. The money's going to a good place. Yeah, it's super potent to feel like I'm not just participating in something that's, you know, made in China, like you said, and to really align your what you believe in this moment, your values are.
Question for you, for someone who's thinking about letting go of it all, but perhaps isn't in the financial situation that you were in, what would you say to them?
It doesn't cost as much money as you think to live your dreams. It doesn't really cost any money. I met travelers, you know, in the beginning, that was my big struggle. Yeah. I was like, I met travelers that have like, you know, their last like $1,000, and they just know that they're going to go out into the world. And if they want to go on a trip, that they'll insert themselves and be able to make more. They don't have a concern. Mm-hmm. So I've just seen people through traveling. I've, you know, volunteered. I've seen myself even just literally challenge myself to have no money and say, hey, what can I do? And if I'm participating and I'm part of the collective, will I be rewarded and will I trust that? And I just see the abundance happen. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe
that's
I was
a powerful lesson.
And so I believe that. It's not that I believe it. I know it to be true because it's been part of my experience.
Sure.
And so I don't think you need as much money.
Right.
But I also think the grass is always greener, you know, that like people have this illusion. It's like my friend and I went, Steph and I traveled around the world. We asked people, what's your dream in life? And we've had like about 5,000 people go through this process. And it's been amazing through this gratitude bus that we've traveled with that was originally a van. And we were just going around giving hummus out to people, you know, like hummus wraps and with kale. And
nice choice.
Yeah, right. And we were great chefs at the time. So I think it's people say, oh, I want to live on the beach. It's cheaper to live in a beach than a city, you know, in many ways. Cheaper to live in Costa Rica than live in New York. It's about getting yourself mentally there. Mm-hmm.
We got one more question before the truth challenge. So I've got the 8-week goal and growth accelerator program, Winning Weeks, that supports people and thriving holistically across all areas of life and putting the focus in each different area. And so my question for you, the first part of it, is what is a winning week for you?
I've actually thought about you a lot when I've been, you know, wake up. It's like, how do I want to create my day? I think that was Milman, right? Create mm-hmm. a great day instead mm-hmm. of like have a great day. It's like ability to invite people. So I think about, well, what feels good? Like, do I feel like I am vibrant and I'm, you know, doing my work, which is really supporting people and engaging people and being authentic, and I'm living out my values. I'm living out beyond my values. I'm living out what I feel like is being in balance. And I think a winning week would be like able to serve yourself and others in the highest form that ultimately breaks form.
Thank you for that. And then the second part of the question is, what is a life hack or something that you practice that's a game changer for you that can be really supportive for somebody at home?
When you asked that, you made a mention of that question, and I had like a lot of things going
on.
You know, I would say it's, you know, certainly like, is the story you're telling serving you? If not, are you ready to rewrite the story? Mm-hmm. 80-20 rules are great. You know, what is occupying, you know, are you doing 80% of the things you want to be doing? And what's the burden? What's occupying your time? Are you, you know, and the same thing like Tony Robbins says, like, are you majoring in minor things? You know, what are you occupying your headspace with? Mm-hmm. And allowing yourself to be peaceful just in the moment. It's like, what do you want? And a lot of people want a feeling, you know, You ask me what do they truly want? And at the end of the day, they usually want to feel a feeling, happiness or peace or joy. And I always say, allow yourself to feel it right now. What story, what life are you creating that doesn't allow you to just stop everything and go, holy shit, oh, I want to feel good. Okay. Oh, that feels good. I could do more of that. It's so simple. And that's what we
tend to... in touch with your breath.
Yeah.
Reminding yourself it just feels good to be alive.
Exactly. Yeah. And so giving yourself permission to feel the things that you want to feel. I think that's a beautiful gift that everybody can give themselves.
All right, Doug, it is time for the truth challenge.
Amazing.
Yeah. So I've got five questions that I've come up with specifically for you.
This is fun.
Yeah.
Oh, and having fun is a big one. Have fun. Yeah.
Really?
Don't take things so seriously.
Really? Come on.
100%.
So it's time for the truth challenge. I've got five questions that I'm going to ask specifically for you that most of them I've just come up with as we've been chatting here, and this has been so much fun. So you're going to have 30 seconds to answer each of them.
Okay.
And it's your job to answer them honestly and authentically. Do you accept the challenge?
Yes.
All right. The truth challenge with the one and only Doug Aiken. Question number one. This is going to piggyback on something we were just talking about. But what story are you personally willing to no longer tell?
The story that I am not the creator of reality, whatever reality I believe in, I can create.
Question number two for you. You've got some incredibly piercing eyes, very noticeable. So my question is, what is the craziest thing that like someone's just who's just seen your eyes like come into your life? What's happened? I know there's got to be a great story there.
That's an interesting one. And it's interesting. I know somebody said to me in Tulum, they said, wow, your eyes are so crazy. What do you do with those eyes? Like, there's like an amazing gift. And I thought, wow, that's so interesting. Like, she was like, are you like a wizard? You know, she didn't say it. She's like, are you like a wizard or like a something? Like, what? And I never thought about that. And I guess that was crazy to think about. Oh my God, you have those eyes. Like, you must do something like wild in the world because of it. I never attributed the eyes to that.
Question number three. This is our giving confessions question. What is something that you're embarrassed to admit, maybe even ashamed to admit, or just don't generally talk about, but you're willing to share anyways today because it can help somebody?
So I think that, you know, it hasn't always been easy, especially like traveling is challenging. Like, I actually think it's in many ways more challenging. And I think sometimes people look at my lifestyle and they go, oh my God, you were successful in business and you got to travel the world. I'm so jealous of you. And, you know, I want to offer the support in saying that being a nomad and traveling has not always been easy. And like, I am there with anybody that is going through a tough time or has had a tough time, because I've probably experienced very much of what you've experienced. So don't let just the outer things, the labels, the names, the status, or whatever you want to call it, fool you.
Question number four. What is a great metaphor for your life?
A great metaphor, the river. Allow things to flow. Allow it all to flow. Allow it just to happen and be surprised. I was surprised the other day with my mom. You know, I was like, oh, I think I'm gonna move to the West Coast. And I thought she'd freak out. And she's like, I'm so happy that you said that. I was like, wow, it's so great to be surprised. Like, if you communicate your truth and what you're feeling and allow that to come out, like, be surprised. So I like the metaphor of water. My name actually means the one that lives by the deep river. That's what Douglas means.
Question number five. What is the toughest thing that you could ask yourself right now?
Toughest thing I could ask myself right now? To make a commitment to you. That was just the first thing I thought.
About what?
About whatever we want to come up with.
What comes to mind?
More speaking, more like sharing more, you know, like giving more of the juice, the effervescence, the sparkle, the spirit, like capturing it so it can get out to more people.
True Challenge with the one and only Doug Aiken. Thank you, Doug. I'd never asked that last question before.
Really?
And I think it's a tough question in and of itself. It's like, how the hell do you answer that? But right. I think that that's really interesting.
Well, it's like whatever comes up for you. That's what's coming up for me right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So the idea of sharing more of your stuff on like a...
Yeah, like allowing it to be heard to people that might gain value from it.
I think that anyone listening is going to find tremendous value in this. And I've recorded, I think, probably over 110 interviews, some of the episodes I've done just by myself. But I am so fascinated, and you're an incredible teacher. Your wisdom and your perspective is so incredibly unique and fresh and relatable and uplifting. That I think anyone listening right now would agree that you should get more podcasts, you should have your own show. You're so creative, and I personally hope that when you do find a place on the West Coast, that is a piece of it.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you. And you're very good at your role, too.
Thank you.
Naturally.
I appreciate it. I have a question for you. Do you have a desire to have a family?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Structurally, I actually see it in terms of the education system as being, you know, part of a community, which is part of a larger process of how do we want our kids to participate in the world, and are they currently being served by the way that the modern education system is supporting them? Mm-hmm. And so I like kind of like the commune model. Mm. You know, I think that's super interesting with a few tweaks and modifications. So yes, the answer is for sure yes. That's wonderful. Part of the alchemy.
I love the alchemy there, just the way that we've done it for the last, you know, couple hundred years. Doesn't mean that that's the only way. That's the way that we have to do it.
Yeah, like maybe we're in the village and I have freedom because my kids feel comfortable going to you for a part of the day and learning from you, and our doors aren't shut.
Like, what a concept.
In some of the cultures I study, they don't have doors.
Yeah.
Why do we have doors?
What about your love life?
Okay, what do you want to know?
I want to, because you've been on the road for 7 years.
Yeah.
Have you been able to have relationship, committed relationship? I'm sure you've had connection, I imagine, but a committed relationship.
Have you been wanting that? I mean, long-term committed, no. But I think it's also been that I've really wanted to have like the personal journey.
Yeah.
And so I was really open to it. However, I also kind of directionally was interested in charting my own, you know, path a bit. So I think there was a certain level of independence, you know, especially because I'd been in a lot of business partnerships and things for years. So I really wanted to create this space to really feel like, wow, this is me. And this is like, you know, I'm going this way, and it's all on me, so to speak. Right.
Yep.
So I would say I could say in one way I was open to it, but in one way I was also very committed to kind of my own solo path. Now I'm definitely in a space where yes, I want to invite in that partner and really be clear and open to that. So yeah, but it's the part of being able to have a lot of great experiences and meet a lot of amazing women and be able to be present with them as much as possible and share those experiences, I feel like was a huge gift. Yeah, I mean I'm definitely not like the typical, I don't know, archetype, but architecturalist of like how we participate in society and say, okay, you get a job, you're successful, you buy a house, you have a wife, you have a kid. Right. I kind of tried to, you know, create my own formula of that. And so I think that's been exciting, and I did it on my own terms.
You're easily going to be the coolest dad you officially become.
Yeah, I mean, kids are amazing. They're like, I was in the park the other day with my nephew, he's 2 years old, and some guy was standing on the rock, like reading the Bible or something, some text. Spiritual text, and there were like 20 people standing there, and they were all like listening to him. What is he going to say? What's the truth? What's you know, the book say? What's look like searching, right? Or looking for something. And my nephew is like walking, and he's just climbing on a rock, and he's learning how to climb. And like they all just look over, and like a bunch of them just started smiling. And it was like, oh, it's so perfect. It's like all around us at all times. And I think that's something that we agree on, is like, love is all around us. It's like love is the pervasive energy, and just the idea that it's not there is what traps us and puts us into fear and all these things that send us in a place that isn't the vibration of love.
Totally. I agree with that. I think everything is covering up love. All the stories.
It's like love is in us, around us at all times. Yeah. Are we tuning in? Are we present to it? Yep. Or are we thinking in the story, which is usually rooted in the past or the future, and it takes out of the present moment, and that's the monkey mind.
Let's wrap up this absolutely fascinating conversation.
Okay.
What can we do to support you?
Just being you allows me to be me and allows it to just flow. So I would say if you're you, we're good, you know, like just be you and at least just be real. I think what you're, you know, it's like, hey, you whatever, like just be real in the moment and get out of the box and like, yeah, dance. Just let's, you know, enjoy each other's experience. I think that would serve me because it would fill me up and that allows me to be me. You know, if somebody's being themselves, then I'm myself. We're not thinking about anything other than that. We're in the being, you know? So that would like exponentially, yeah, like I would probably start flying. Like I might like start like taking flight if everybody was.
If anyone could levitate, it would be you.
Yeah.
What final words of wisdom advice do you have for listeners of the One Not Only?
Trust your own path. Like, you know, anything that I've studied, any spiritual stuff is not binding. It's to say, create the formula that works for you. And if you have found the formula that works for you, whether it's like you wake up and you dance or you go to sleep dancing or whatever combination, you know, you want to eat meat or you, who am I to say, you know, what is right or wrong? But I think if everybody's feeling like they have the willpower and the ability to create what works for them, they can respect and embrace fully somebody else. And so find that. And that is like a shortcut to like any spiritual text. It's like, if anybody's telling you the way, you know, check in and be like, is this working for me? And if it is, great. But if it's not, maybe modify it and come up with your own way. And if your own way is filling up the world with joy, go with it. Like, why does it, you know, like if you pray to your pillow and it makes you a better person in the world or have unlimited energy, like, great, go with it. You know, you don't need to like fly to India and, you know, like be in a cave or do a silent meditation. I mean, those are all great tools and great things, but trust, that's what I was saying about before, about trusting yourself, you know, like being in silence, listening, let the thoughts come up and then trusting that. And that's what I said about where you said, where do you go? Is it Bali? Is it Africa? It's like, it's whatever internally you're feeling guided to. Trust your own internal guidance.
The one and only Doug Aiken. I can't wait to continue this adventure with you, brother. Cool. You're the man.
Thank you for tuning in to today's show with the one and only Doug Aiken. Love Doug's perspective, his courage, and what a fun, amazing, loving man. If you enjoyed today's show, share it out there. The link is areyoubeingreal.com/123, and you can share it out right now on Twitter and Facebook. We've got some great episodes coming your way soon. We got another awesome episode about sex with Jared Matthew Weiss. We've got an episode with Brandon Beecham from the Positive Head podcast, as well as an awesome discussion with Adam Gilad coming your way soon. But in the interim, I hope that you're having an absolutely beautiful day. Be sure to check out our sponsors, Organifi, Organifi.com. They've got all sorts of amazing health products that you can get at a 20% discount utilizing the promo code WINNINGWEEKS when checking out. So check out our sponsors. You will not regret it, as well as how it impacts your health. So much love to you. We'll see you back here next week. After spending the first 30 years of my life trying to gain love and acceptance, doing and saying whatever I perceived was necessary to get it, I still came up short and felt worse about myself in the process. Today, I'm committed to living an authentic life I'm proud of, and I invite you to join me by fully embracing the unique gift you are to the world. Learn more about this show at areyoubeingreal.com and share this with your family and friends, and feel free to subscribe and leave a review on iTunes.
have fun, be the one and only you, and make your mark today.